Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
It was pretty awesome. And Rosabella, our three-year-old, which was awesome. So if you don't have a dreams list with your kids, you should start it. Hers is getting pretty long, all right, which is pretty fun. And so when we get a chance to, we cross those off. And so I have this picture of her in front of this gelato place in the Navy Pier, and she is smiling from ear to ear. It was pretty great. So, so thank you just for all those that chipped in and helped out last week. We had a great time. It was really refreshing. And so thank you to that. Psalm 139, I want to start with this. In verse 23, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." No one else can do that like God can. Amen? God can search your heart like no one else. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I love that scripture. I was reminded of that just a few minutes ago, and I just wanted to share that today as we start out today's message. You know, when we come to church, we come to build community, we come to grow together, we come to give thanks to God for all that he's done, all that he's doing, and all that he's going to do. And we also come into this place to allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts, to search our minds, to search our thoughts, and allow him to change and renovate whatever he needs to. Amen? And the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit moves on our behalf, revelation comes. Aren't you glad that there isn't like a prerequisite for God's revelation? Right? Religion wants to tell you, you've got to do all these things, there's all these steps, and then maybe if you do that, then maybe, just maybe, God will give you a little sliver. But aren't you glad that that's not the way that God operates? God operates in this way. When you give your life to him, when you receive the Holy Spirit, revelation is always available to you. So let's pray today. Let's ask God to move on our behalf, move in us. We're going to lift up our pastors too today. Pastor Jim asked us, he's just not feeling the best today, and so we're just going to pray over him as well as a church family. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you that your presence is here, that your Holy Spirit is here moving on our behalf right now. We thank you for what that means in our life, for your grace and your salvation, your mercy, totally undeserved, but you give it anyway, freely. And so today we open up our hearts to you today and we say, have your way today. Change us, rearrange us, do whatever you got to do today so we can leave this place to proclaim your name. And we take a moment just to lift up our pastors to you right now. We thank you right now that you are breaking the backbone of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke anything that's coming against them. And we thank you, God, that your power is greater and bigger. And so right now we declare and we agree today together. We ask that you send angels to minister to them. Healing angels right now, strengthening them. We thank you for peace right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You can turn your Bibles to one of the most famous scriptures of all, John 3. We're going to look at verse 16 and a lot more. Anybody ever heard of John 3:16? Yeah, people put it on stuff they don't even know what it means. They're like, I heard this was the kind of a thing. Yeah, Tim Tebow, let's go. Anybody ever remember that guy? Let's go. Today we're gonna jump around a little bit, but I want to talk about first something God has put in my heart, and that is to focus a little bit this morning at first on the gospel and what the gospel is, the power of the gospel. Why is it important that we share the gospel? And what does it mean for us in our life? What does it mean to a believer? What is the gospel really? Because sometimes in church we can throw around different language and say things, and it's like, yeah, I was the gospel. We're supposed to share the gospel. What does that mean? What is that all about? And so we're going to dig into that a little bit today. So if you got your Bible, it's John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." I love that. I think that's such an important piece. We say John 3:16, that's like a really important scripture. But verse 17, man, so important. Because religion, the spirit of religion, wants to say you're condemned. That you're broken. That nobody wants you. God doesn't even want you. But what does it say here? Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save man. Isn't that good? That's good news today, all right? This is the gospel. In verse 18, it says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the Son of God." And so we see this dichotomy happening right here in this scripture. The reality that Jesus, he did not come to condemn. But if you don't turn to the Lord, you're already condemned. We're walking around living condemned until we have a revelation of Jesus and the gospel in our life. So verse 19, it says, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world." That's Jesus. "And people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." You ever seen that before? We can see that all the time. In our culture, in our world, in our own lives, we knew that there was a light. We knew that we weren't maybe supposed to do something or whatnot, but we do it anyway. We choose something else. And so it comes down ultimately to that choice. What are we going to choose? In verse 20, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." And I love that last piece, because we see there that when we start to see that we're maybe messing up or doing the wrong things, and we make a choice, we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to pursue Jesus, then everything that we do reflects Jesus. That's really powerful, all right, if you let that get in you today. Because a lot of us, if we're not careful, we rely on our works way too often. Meaning this, that it's what I do that creates my salvation. But that is not true. But when you pursue God, your works reflect Jesus. And sometimes we flip that. We say, well, I'm going to do my works so that I reflect Jesus. Wrong, all right? First, we choose Jesus. And as we choose Jesus, we become a reflection of him. That's the power of salvation. It's the power of God doing something inside of us, all right? We call that repentance when we make that choice. We repent of our sins. We repent of our wrongdoings. We repent of our wicked ways. We turn around the opposite direction. And as we do that, closer to him, we become a deeper reflection of who Jesus is. Amen? Luke chapter 4, go to there real quick. And this is just to help kind of build a framework of what the gospel is, okay? What the gospel is. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19, this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus really shook things up when he read this, all right? Because this is a prophecy. And this prophecy is only supposed to, in the Jewish culture, the Jewish religion, this is the only supposed to be read by the Messiah. And Jesus comes in, and when they're like, hey, what do you want to read? He's like, I want to read this. And so we maybe can't totally fathom the moment, all right? But Jesus is like, hey, I'm here. And I am he that you've been waiting for. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord, this is Jesus speaking about himself, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Okay, so if you want to know, hey, what did Jesus come to do? All right, this is another moment, all right? John 3, 16, that's him speaking. This is another moment where he's speaking, hey, do not get it mixed up. This is why I'm here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to what? Proclaim good news to the poor. Good news. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. If you ever are wondering, what is Jesus' role as my Savior? There it is. Amen? That's what it is. Jesus' role as a Savior is to come, break the bondage, break the chains that the enemy has tried to put on you or has put on you. And when he breaks those things, freedom reigns. And if you've never experienced that today, you can experience it. Amen? Again, I'm going to say it again. You don't have to jump through a million hoops to do it. You can simply call in the name of Jesus and he is there. The gospel, it's the message of grace. Undeserved, unmerited favor. You can't do anything to get it. It was a gift given to you by God through Jesus. It is now your choice to open it. I always give the parallel of like a gift. If you go down on Christmas morning and you go down under the tree and there's a gift right there and it has your name on it, it doesn't do any good under the tree unless you open it, right? Otherwise, it's just a really pretty present. And how awkward and weird would it be for years later, 3 years later, some family comes over, it's like mid-July. They're like, hey, what's going on over here? They're like, oh, that? Yes, that's an awesome present given to me by the most amazing person ever. Like, they love me so much. They know me better than anyone. And they got me this awesome gift. They told me about it. They're like, it's going to be amazing. Actually, there's a whole book written about it. Right. And they wrapped it up. It's really pretty. They will look at you like you're the craziest person alive. They're like, okay, and why have you not opened it? Like, why is it still sitting underneath there? What is going on? Like, that's crazy talk, right? And so the choice of accepting God's grace, it's up to the believer, okay? He doesn't force himself on you. But he gives you the chance and the option to be able to have that. Amen? It's the message of grace. It's also the grace, the message of holiness. It's a call to holiness. And grace is beautiful. It's beautiful. It's taking that which could not be saved and making it clean. And it's a call to holiness, to pursue the things of God. Amen? To be obedient. And sometimes that's where we get a little bit of the rub. Grace is fun, right? Woo! I love presents, right? Oh, but do you have to do anything? No. You choose and receive. But as you draw closer to God, there will be things in your spirit that say, hey, you got to get rid of that. You got to stop doing that. Like, come on, like, we know better than that, right? Like, we read in the Bible, like, one time you were a baby and you drank milk. All right, let's move on. Right? So when we give our lives to Jesus, we're baby Christians. That's what we talk about, a new beginning, that we're born again, okay? Jesus talks about this with this dude Nicodemus, and he is puzzled. He's like, what? You can read about it. It's wild. It's funny. It's kind of funny. Because Nicodemus is like religious, right? He's like, born again, born again. How can I go back in my mom's belly? Jesus has got to be like, dear God. All right, man. I thought you were one of the smart guys, you know what I mean? But we're born again. Born again. We're a new creation, the Bible says. Isn't that beautiful? So we're baby Christians, right? But you don't have to stay a baby forever. But if you want, you can choose to. That'd be weird. 38-year-old. Baby. Probably got a few of those, but anyway, but like not in here, but like. But what does a mature Christian start to do? A mature Christian starts to know where the food's at and goes and gets it. Amen? Did you hear that today? That's important because a baby Christian is just like, wah! And God gives the milk, right? But a grown-up says, I can make that. I know the ingredients. God, why don't you come over here? Why don't you help me out? God gives you that divine recipe, and you start to create something with him. All right? See, God is the divine creator. He created earth, right? Beautiful, all right? Amazing. And his Holy Spirit, all right, can create things through us. That's a fun thought. Things that the world has never seen. Things that people have only, like, dared to imagine God can do through us, create through us. And you might say, well, yeah, some people, but not me. Wrong. You. You. That's a fun question to ask God. Jesus was perfectly holy, amen? And now it's mankind's choice, time and time again. You either choose sin or you choose God, right? The gospel. So how do you share the gospel? Let's talk about that for a minute. I'm not going to take a real long time on this, but I think it's pertinent to talk about. You know, when we talk about the gospel, you're like, whoa, I have to share the gospel? Well, life's a lot more fun if you do. I'm going to tell you that much. And the other reality is this. If God has changed your life, you should give that to someone else. You should give that opportunity to someone else. And no one likes hearing this, but it's just the reality. If we choose not to, we're just being selfish. And you're like, well, yeah, but yeah, it's true, okay? That's just the truth, all right? Doesn't mean you're a bad person, it's just the truth, okay? Got that? So sharing the gospel is also getting over ourselves. And really, you could say the pursuit, the journey with Jesus is really constantly getting over yourself, right? Because that's your flesh, okay? It's your flesh. It's what you want to do. But as a Christian, we want to do what God wants us to do, which means he's going to call us out into the unknown. He's going to call us out into some uncomfortable things, all right? So when I'm at a Menards, because I'm always at Menards, all right? I'm at Menards so much that my daughter likes to go to Menards. Like, that's a weird thing. She's 3 years old, and she's like, Menards? And I'm like, oh, no. What have I done? Yes, we'll get some eggs, and we'll get some milk and some plywood. Why not? Let's do it, you know? I was like, man, if I didn't have charity in my life, that might be the only place I shop, you know? Praise God for my wife. God bless her. It's like, where did you go today? Man, I went to Menards. I got everything I've ever needed. I got my cleaning supplies. I got my laundry detergent. I got my milk, my eggs. I got my plywood. I got a few studs. I got, clothes. What else do they have? Furniture. By Christmas tree. Anyway, okay. But where was I going? Oh, yeah. I go to Menards, all right? And God's like, hey, you're not here today just to get your milk and eggs. Today, you're going to pray for that guy. You know, it's a lot more comfortable to do is just to get my milk and eggs and get out of Dodge. But what's way more exciting to do is to go pray for that person. And yeah, sure, it might be a little scary at first, but don't let that stop you. I mean, a lot of us say, oh, yeah, but wonder if, like, they say no. Yeah, but wonder if they say yes. Wonder if you pray for them and they're healed in a Menards. And if you're like, that can't happen, yeah, it can. I've seen it happen, all right? Cherry and I were at Walmart last week, all right? Walmart. Yes, I go to other stores in Menards. Okay, so I'm at Walmart. We're at Walmart. We're getting a few groceries, right? And we're checking out. And I'm checking out, and Charity's talking to all these people that she's, like, best friends with. I'm like, this is my wife. She's awesome, all right? She knows all these workers. Like, these workers go and get, like, lollipops for my daughter. You know, like, they're like, just wait right here. I swear they went to, like, the Halloween candy and opened up a bag and took one. You know what I mean? For my daughter, right? And so, like, they're all talking, and I'm standing there checking out, and this guy walks up, and I'm like, hey, how's it going? And he's like, good. I was like, no, but seriously, how's it going? If you want to get to the nitty-gritty of how life is really going, that's a great question to ask people. And he's like, well, you know, I just actually got done with some cortisone shots. I was like, where? My knees. And I was like, sweet. So if you heard my testimony about a month ago, I've been dealing with some severe knee pain probably for 6 or 7 years, all right? And I didn't like admitting this, but the reality is I just had gotten used to it. That's not good, okay? That's not good at all right? And Tony Barnes was up here. He's giving a testimony of how God healed his knees. Torn, I think, MCL, meniscus. The doctor said, went back, the doctor's like, what happened? Like, God healed me. What? He's giving the testimony up here, preaching, and God just, boom, healed my knees. And I was like so fired up, I just started preaching, I forgot about it, I didn't even talk about it until the next week at church. But I was like, no pain, all right? And just to test it out, I do these stupid boot camp workouts, and I was like, let's go. So I did these crazy workouts for the next month just to prove how powerful my God is, amen? Without any pain. And I started sharing it with people. Anyway, so I'm standing here at Walmart. This guy says cortisone shots. I'm like, where? I'm like, your knees. Of course it would be. And I said, can I tell you something? He's like, sure. I was like, God completely healed my knees 3 weeks ago, and he's going to heal your knees right now. And he's like, and I said, do you believe that? He's like, I'm a believer, and I think I do. And I was like, let's go. Okay. And so we start stirring up faith, right? That's what we're doing, okay? Whether you're a believer or not, you can stir up some faith with your testimony, all right? Remember that. Your testimony is key. And so I'm like, well, let's pray. And so we're there at Walmart at the self-checkout, and I start praying for him that God would completely heal him. And he's just like, at first he's kind of like really stiff, and then he like, kind of loosens up a little bit, and then words start coming out of his mouth. And I'm like, oh, God's here, you know. At a Walmart, there was no worship music. The lighting is definitely not very, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, and the weird, like, Halloween decorations. But anyway, but we prayed. And that man, I believe, God's healing left with him that day. Amen? Now, Why do I tell that? To be like, oh, look at me. No, I'm just saying it's really that easy, all right? And I turn around, and there's my wife, and she's like talking to all these people, and I'm like, and that's the power that you have, okay? Whether it's just you or with your family, everywhere you go, God goes with you, okay? So if everywhere you go, if you had a true realization that Jesus is right there with me, how would that change things? And you're like, well, Brandon, I know that. But do you really know that? Like, if Jesus was physically right there, how would you act? Like a king's kid, right? Like, check this out. Jesus, what are we going to do? That's what you would be asking him. Like, let's just be real. Like, if you were on it, let's just say Jesus physically here, and Jesus like, let's go to Walmart. And you walk into Walmart, we'll be the first thing I'd be like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do, man? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? I don't know, let's go to aisle 28. What is in aisle 28? Oh, baby, right? And you're running over, you're like, anticipation, right? And you're asking, and you're listening, and you're aware. See, if we think that, like, I'm just going to walk and go throughout my day and ignore God, and then whenever he's ready, he's going to plop something in my head, wrong, all right? You have to be ready. You have to be expecting. You have to be understanding that he is there all the time, working, ready, working, ready, working, ready, working, ready, preparing, doing. And it's our job to be a vessel. God's kingdom on earth, he wants it to manifest, but he needs vessels to work it through. And that's you and I, all right? So do you want to be one of those vessels? I do. I don't know about you, but I do. And sharing the gospel is one of, like, the simplest forms of bringing the kingdom of God here on earth, because it's expanding his kingdom. Amen? And you might be like, well, how do I share the gospel? Share your testimony, all right? What was your life before Jesus? What happened when you met Jesus? Tell them about that experience. And now what's your life like with Jesus? That's the simplest form of a testimony, okay? And you might be like, well, I can't tell somebody that. Yeah, you can. They might think I'm weird. They probably will. I guarantee you, actually. Like, there's probably a 99.9% chance they will think you're weird. That's the idea, though. Because if somebody hears something like that and they connect with the fact that, like, you took a total chance with a stranger or somebody you don't know to share something that powerful that happened in your life, they're going to experience that passion. The Holy Spirit is going to move on that moment. And whether or not they give their life to Jesus that moment or not, that seed that you plant is eternal. Okay? I love telling a story. A lot of you have heard this. I'm going to tell it again. And when I was in my early 20s, my mom was taking my sisters to this thing. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Dare to Share. And it was this huge evangelistic conference that would travel all over the nation. And there was one in Omaha. My sister was going to it. And she's picking up my sister at whatever the convention center downtown is called. It's changed like seven names. But anyway, that one. And she pulls up to pick up my sister. My sister's running out, and this random girl comes running up to the car and is like waving at my mom. And my mom's like, hi. And this girl says, this is wild. All right. She's like, you probably don't remember me. But a few weeks ago, you were in line at the grocery store, and you tapped me on the shoulder, and you said, hey, I just wanted you to know that God loves you. And she said, I've been contemplating suicide. I didn't know if God loved me. You said that. That night, my friend invited me to church and went to church that night, and the message was about God's love for me. They invited me to this conference a week and a half later, and I came to this conference. I gave my life to Jesus. What? Yeah, you can clap for that all day, baby. That's Jesus, baby. And my mom could barely remember the moment. That's just being willing, being ready. And you may be like, that's a small thing. It's not a small thing. When God is on the move in someone's heart, get in there, baby. All right? See what God will do. All right. You should share the gospel. All right? I went way off track, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah. And I want you to be reminded that you're not alone. I think this is key. I was reading, a lot of us know Alan Vincent. If you don't know that name, you should check it out. But he, for years before he went to heaven, was an apostle to this church, a father in the faith. And in his book, Heaven on Earth, I want to read this to you real quick, because this is important to remember that there's power, too, in joining with each other. Okay? And what do I mean? I mean this, that God says where two or more are gathered, right, he will be in their midst. All right? There's power in two. So if you can find somebody to agree with you, whether you're married or not, right? If you're married, then bam, all right, it's built in, okay? But if you're not, finding somebody that can pray with you in what God is doing in your life, okay? There's power in exact agreement, all right? I'm going to read this to you. Matthew 18, 19, it says, so this is from his book, okay? So I'm just going to read it. So he continues, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven, Matthew 18, 19. It doesn't say that if you can get 2,000 people praying for your city, then you may see some changes. It only needs two. However, notice something about the two. If two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, the word agree is translated from the Greek word symphonio, from which we get our English word symphony. It literally means to make exactly the same sound together. It is like two violins in the same orchestra, perfectly tuned to play exactly the same sound together. That is what this word means. If two of you can get together in perfect spiritual symphony and make the same sound together, then you can have whatever you ask for. That should not be too hard to accomplish. Amen. The obvious and the most natural expression of this is a husband and wife praying together, but it can often be just two people who find a special empathy in prayer. To have this kind of prayer life, you must have this kind of symphonic unity. If you can pray like this as a couple, you can put a wall of protection around your family. When you get a leadership team in a church and a real symphony together, they can put a protective wall around the members of the church so the devil cannot easily attack them. Being in agreement not only forms an impregnable defense, but it also becomes a very powerful weapon in the kingdom. Amen? Isn't that good? So why do I say all that? Well, go share the gospel, but get somebody that you're praying with. All right? I think that's powerful, okay? And you can go together. You can go do it together. I mean, Terry and I go to places all the time, and we're like tag team, right? But we're also praying every day that God's kingdom would come through us, okay? That is an affirmation that we speak, that we believe in, okay? We speak it over Rosabella, and so because of that, everywhere we go, we can be that, okay? So get together, get somebody to pray with you, and remember that, a same empathy, and pray the same thing. There's power in that agreement. So why should you share the gospel? Well, Matthew 28, I'm just going to read it real quick. Matthew 28, 16 through 20 says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. It's obedience, too. In relationship with Jesus, if we're followers of Jesus, we got to go. Like, Jesus has given us the authority. He's given us everything we need to go do it. We just have to go do it. Okay? So go. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Stop trying to cover up your light. Don't be afraid of the truth, all right? Do not be afraid of the truth, all right? Do not be stirred by all these everything that's going on with the election, all the political stuff and everything. God stands on the throne, all right? And if we are his vessels, let him work through us, all right? Do not be afraid to tell somebody that, hey, let's be making sure that we're voting against that abortion bill, all right? And you're like, well, you can't say that. Yeah, I can, all right? Is there a balance to everything I say? Absolutely. I love them. I love to have those conversations. I love what it opens up so that I can show them God's love. That I can let them know that God is not judging anyone, nor should I. And everyone is welcome in the house of God. And the church needs to do a better job of being there and being the role in society. I love having these conversations with people, okay? Because what are we doing? We're breaking down those walls. There's a lot of walls in people's life. Truth will break through that. It will break through that. And if you're like, well, I'm just not that knowledgeable. I just don't know if I can do that, or I can't be that quite like you when you say it. Well, go try. Don't tell me you can if you haven't tried. Okay. Jesus commands it. Be obedient. All right? Go share the gospel. Share God's love. Share the truth. Don't be ashamed of who God is. Amen? If someone is starving, literally starving in front of you, and you have enough food for them, would you give it to them? Yeah. Well, every time you go out, there's hundreds of starving people all around you. And you have more than enough to give them. People are starving for that truth. So what's the power of the gospel? What is the power of God? John 16, 7 through 9. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, this is the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment concerning sin because they do not believe in me. The power of the gospel is it creates a line instantly. When people experience the truth of God, it creates a line. It says, here's the line. You choose me or you don't. That's it. When you choose Jesus, you choose light. When you don't, you choose darkness. There is no neutral. And that is why sometimes that conviction can be hard for people to deal with. So what do you do in those moments? You do not get defensive, all right? Your fight is not with people. It is with the principalities of darkness. Amen? And this is what we do sometimes, all right? Especially with family, right? Really, like, they come at you, you know? Like, oh, you think you're too good. You think you're better than all of us with your little Bible, whatever. You went to church, so you want me to, you know, listen to everything you have to say. Do not get defensive. Do not fight. Your fight is not with them, all right? What's happening is the Holy Spirit is drawing a line in their heart. It's conviction, all right? And that's hard to deal with. How do you? With a lot of grace. And you ask God to give you the grace to do it. And you love them and you care for them and you recognize that your fight is not with them. You pray for them like you'd want somebody to pray for you. You go to battle for them. And God will open up moments where you can show them the love of God. When you can share the real truth. And when he does, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Amen? Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. The power of the gospel. There it is. What it can do in your life. I love that. Peter's out there, he's preaching to all these people. And they're like, whoa, this is wild. What do we have to do? And he's like, give your life to Jesus. Then we're going to baptize you and you get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the gospel at work in your life. That's the power of the gospel. That can happen to anybody. Anytime. anyone, anytime. The Holy Spirit. We'll give you a chance. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you haven't received that gift, we'll give you a chance today. I got so many notes up here, guys. Be patient with me for a minute. Praise the Lord. I love Jeremiah 31, 33. It says, "For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I'll put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and his brother, saying, Know the Lord." I love this. "For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." That's a promise of Jesus right there, okay? That's the promise of Jesus. That is the promise of Jesus. That is the promise of Jesus. Did Jesus come? Yeah. What does that mean? It's on earth right now, working through us as his vessels. And that is a powerful scripture. If you let that get into you, that will change things, okay? Amen. The power of the gospel. Romans 12:2 says this. A lot of us know this. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The power of the Holy Spirit will renew your mind. Don't be transformed, but renewed by that. Renewal, that word literally means renewal, renovation, to make something completely new, all right? And a lot of you know I do construction part-time. I've grown up in the construction world. And so when we go in to, you know, renovate a kitchen, what do we do first? We tear all the bad stuff out. We tear it all out. And if you don't know what you're doing, you don't tear all the bad stuff out. You can't recognize what's bad. Those are things that my dad and I, we get a call back on, right? But if you do it the right way, okay, stick with me for a minute. If you do it the right way, you go in, you have an expert come in, and you identify all the problems, all the issues, and you take that all out before you try to put in the new stuff. That is a renewing of the mind. It's saying, Holy Spirit, come in. Tell me everything, all the issues, all the underlying problems. Tell me everything that's going on that needs to come out. And then now help me get it out. And then let's start putting in all of your new stuff. Now you don't have any underlining issues. It not only looks pretty, but it's functional. That's the power of the renewal of the mind. Samantha, I'm going to have you give your testimony here in just a minute. So come on up. I'm going to read this excerpt, and then I'm going to have Samantha give this awesome testimony. This is Alan Vincent again, same book. And he was talking about renewing of your mind, and he realized that he was not living the way, I'll just read it. "I realized that I was not living the way the Bible said I was supposed to be living. So I shared this with a close brother I was working with in Mumbai. He was in India as an evangelist. I said to him, 'I'm often battling with unclean thoughts,' he said. The guy said, 'So am I.' That's pretty normal, unfortunately. I said, 'It's not normal according to the scriptures. So I'm going to ask God to take it away and give me the mind of Christ as he has promised.' We came together," right? This is that two people coming together symphony, right? "We came together one morning and we got on our knees before God. I said, 'God, I'm claiming my inheritance in Christ. Come and clean up my mind. If I've opened myself up in the past to demons in the area of uncleanliness and lust, I repent of this. Please forgive me and deliver me. I command them to leave me now in the mighty name of Jesus.'" And he said immediately that stuff, those foul thoughts that he had over and over again, just gone. And he said, it's not that it didn't try to come, but it was lessened. And anytime it was heightened, he just had to call in the name of Jesus and it was broken. And slowly but surely, it was gone. All right, Samantha's going to give her testimony. It's awesome. Give it up for Samantha.
Hey, everybody. So I think I should probably start with the beginning. So when I was a teenager, I was diagnosed with major depressive disorder and general anxiety disorder. And I have been battling with that stuff basically my entire life. And moving here helped a whole lot. I think there were a lot of like just major evil things in the environment where I was that just needed to be let go and moved away from. And so I started kind of going back into old thoughts and habits and all of that. And I've been working with Mercedes, and she kept saying the word depressed over me. And I'm just like, I don't really think that I'm depressed anymore. I know depression. I know it very intimately. It doesn't feel like that. But obviously, I still was. She had directed me to Nancy Dufresne's ministry, and I started listening to the very first like series that she had, which was A Sound Disciplined Mind. And I was doing everything that Nancy was telling me to do. I was speaking to my thoughts out loud, verbally, telling them to go, and it worked really well for the new stuff. The stuff that had taken root and had been in my mind and my thoughts all of my life, essentially, those stuck. They weren't coming undone. And then 3 weeks ago, I think it was, when Mercedes was up here doing a healing and all of that, I didn't even come up for the healing, because I'm just like, I'm doing good. Like, I'm better than I ever have been. Like, I'm still good. And I was relying on my own works to try and beat this. And Mercedes comes up while I'm worshiping, like, all of this, and she just lays her hand on my head. I have no idea what she actually said. but as she did, I got a huge burning sensation in my chest, and I just started coughing and, like, dry heaving, like, just over and over again. And Marge can testify to that, because she came over a little bit. And then after that was all done, I just started laughing uncontrollably. And then when the next day, so I have had a large kind of negative spirit over my work. It's just doing my work. It's just, I always have this anger and resentment for it. And anytime any of the like angry thoughts or the like rooted thoughts or anything would try to sneak back in, I started hearing worship music in the back of my head, and it just kept getting louder and louder until it drowned out the bad thought. And when it drowned out the bad thought, it was gone. I didn't think about it again. And it just kept going through that week, and it was the most peaceful week I've ever had. And while that was the Holy Spirit, like, giving me an assist in things, he started to kind of pull off the gas the week after. And I started, like, I came up with a playlist of songs that I go through every single morning. I go through it, I sing all of them, and I get done with the rest of my day so that they are kind of, like, in my quiver to pull out whenever I have those things happen. And so it's not that the bad thoughts don't come anymore. It's I am prepared and instructed on how to get past them. And it's through praising God.
Praise the Lord. Yes. That is such a beautiful story of freedom. Amen. If you're dealing with that today, that freedom is yours today. All right, we're going to pray for you. I want to share this last thought, and then we're going to pray over our nation, okay? And then we're going to pray for some people, okay? All right? So if you need prayer today, you're in the right place. All right? I'm going to read this from Alan Vincent's book again. Same book. When it comes to the kingdom of God, or when it comes to the kingdom, God gives authority to those who obey him. The Bible says that because Jesus was obedient, even to death on a cross. It says in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus was made king of the kingdom because of his perfect obedience. If you remember, Saul was 95% obedient, but God called that disobedience. He told Saul that he lost the kingdom because of his disobedience. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Which pleases him more? The answer is obviously obedience. The verse continues, for to obey is better than sacrifice. To heed or hearken is better than the fat of rams. The particular word for hearing or heeding is a special word. It is hearing in a particular way. This is super important. This is awesome. The picture is of a faithful servant bending forward, listening very carefully to his master in order not to miss one word so he can obey perfectly. It has the idea of listening with the predeposition to obey before anything has ever been said. It's not like a child who replies to his mother calling his name, what do you want? In other words, I'm not sure I'm going to obey you until I know what you want me to do. A person with real kingdom hearing has already said, yes, sir, in his heart before he hears the first word of the direction. To me, when I read that, I was like, oh, man, that like ran me over. It ran me over like 17,000 times. Because there are certain things that God tells me to do, and I'm like, sure. Because it's easier for me, maybe. It's more in line with the things that are comforting, you know? Maybe it's slightly uncomfortable, but I'm okay with that. This is powerful stuff, though, y'all, in our life. If we have this thought in our heart that it's yes already, now I'm just listening. See, a lot of times we say, I'm going to listen. And when he says something, I'll say yes. This simple flip of that, I can tell you confidently it will change your life because it has changed my life completely. It's changed the way that Charity and I do life. And the Holy Spirit is unchanging. It's not like the Holy Spirit changed, like, oh, finally. No, the Holy Spirit, but now, there was a clog in the drain, and it's gone, okay? And I want us to get this, when we talk about the gospel, when we talk about sharing the gospel, it's much more than just telling people, hey, Jesus wants a relationship with you. It is that, but it's so much more what it unlocks in people's lives. I mean, Samantha's testimony, like that is life-changing. And she is so bold about it. I love it. She came down. I was like, Charity, could you bring Samantha downstairs? I just want to see. And I was like, hey, could you give your testimony today? She's like, yeah. I hope this is okay. I say, 2 months ago, no way. All right? I don't know. Give me some days to prepare. She was like, yeah, let's go. I was like, let's go. Oh, man, that's awesome. That fired me up, you know, because it was, she's already mentality, yes, I will be obedient to whatever God wants to do. And so when I told her, I was like, hey, I think the Holy Spirit, if this is going to happen at this specific time, she's like, let's do it. And in our life, that is how God wants to work in our life, okay? But he can't do it if we're not willing. And so this predeposition of yes, sir, before he ever speaks, it's just like, it's laying the groundwork, all right? It's saying, my heart is totally yours, okay? So whatever you want, let's just do it, okay? Let's just do it. If Charity said, hey, can you help me out? And I said, depends. Good luck having a good marriage. Yeah, of course you can. Yeah.
You should take the mic, though. Yep.
So I just wanted to add, because it just, like, came up in my spirit a little bit there, but the week after this happened, the Holy Spirit told me to get up and give a testimony, but I didn't. I let the, like, scaredness, whatever you want to call that, of my flesh win over that particular opportunity. But he told me, that's not your only chance. It's okay. I'm not mad. You can do it again.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely for some people in the room today. So sometimes our picture is when we mess up or we don't do something, we're at the bottom of the ladder again. Or we fell all the way down the staircase. And that's just a complete lie from the enemy. Okay? That's a complete lie from the enemy. He's just saying, get up, let's just keep on moving. Let's keep on moving forward. We're done. We're moving on. We're moving on. Nothing has to hold you back. Nothing. Would you just stand with me? We're going to pray over our nation. We have a general election coming up in just a moment. Merritt, do you mind coming up and praying? I'm going to have Merritt pray over us, and then we're going to pray over some people as well. So let's play. I encourage you to join with us, all right? So lift up your voice as well. Let's not it just be one person up here praying. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Brandon. And I know many of you are fasting and praying, and I hope you continue to do that through the election and beyond. I believe we're going to have God's moving right now, supernaturally, not only in our nation, but around the world. Mighty things are happening, but we will still have a lot of work to do after November 5th. The Christians have been asleep, and they're awake. So, and praise God, what you were just talking about is going to be a big part of it, as Christians who say yes before he even directs us are going to be moving in the years ahead, all the way through 25 and beyond. So I you don't have to agree with me on who or what, but be sure you vote. Because if we are a nation that doesn't vote, we will become a nation that can't vote. All right? So I know that many of you, I'm preaching to the choir, I know you're planning on voting. I know you've been fasting and praying. I hope you continue to do that. And I believe that, how many know the word says, we'll stand before God and answer for every idle word. Well, I believe if he is going to hold us accountable for idle words, I believe he's also going to hold us accountable for how we spend our time and our money and our vote. I believe we're going to be accountable. I can't imagine a God that would make us accountable for our idle words and not include some other stuff. Okay? And so, and it says in Matthew 18:18, whatever we bind on earth is bound in the heavenlies. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in the heavenlies. So I'm going to ask you to agree with me right now in prayer. Father, your word says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Father, we are not righteous because of what we do. We're righteous because of what you did for us. And your word says, wherever two or more agree as touching anything in my name, I will do it. Father, we agree in the name of Jesus for supernatural intervention over America and over our elections. Thank you, Father, that we, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. We bind the demonic forces that are trying to destroy America, destroy our Christian foundation. We bind them in the name of Jesus, and we declare them broken and exposed and held accountable. The people that have cooperated with the enemy, we declare them exposed and held accountable. We declare the cartels that are operating within our nation are exposed and broken in Jesus' name. We come against the evil of the fentanyl crossing our borders, thousands dying per day from that evil drug, and the child trafficking is exposed and halted in the name of Jesus. We thank you for godly people winning the election, and that our nation is once again a light to the world. In Jesus' name, we thank you in advance that you move supernaturally and intervene and protect the vote, and that our election is honest and reported accurately, and we claim it and declare it, and we give you the credit for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. So if you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus, today's the day, baby. All right? Anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus that wants to know him today? Anybody? All right. I'm going to assume we're all Christians in this place then, okay? So I'm going to also give you the opportunity to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're like, I don't know what that is, come talk to us about it. We'll talk about it, all right? But the gift of the Holy Spirit is vital in our relationship with God, all right? It's the Holy Spirit working in and through us, all right? And it's also a prayer language that we can have, all right? That prayer language is between us and God. And there's power outwardly when you speak that. The devil doesn't even know what's going on. And it will wreak havoc on the kingdom of darkness. All right? Chaos into the kingdom of darkness. All right? It will break the backbone of the enemy. All right? The very thing that he tried to form against you, it cannot prosper in the name of Jesus. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit in your prayer language. All right? The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you, work through you. It's an anointing upon your life. He will speak to you. He will lead you. He will guide you. The Holy Spirit is imperative in your relationship with God. So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit and you haven't, then come on down front. We're going to pray for you. All right? Anybody in the room, you can come on down front anytime. We're also going to pray for some people, specifically what Samantha was talking about. All right? There's some people dealing with depression and anxiety, and it's going to break today. We're going to pray for that same exact thing to happen to you, all right? I think that's so profound. I feel like the Holy Spirit is just saying, that's going to happen to some people. You're going to leave this place. You're going to be like, these thoughts, and then worship me, like the song is going to come through. The voice of God. So if that's you, you can come on down front. Anybody can come on down front right now if that's you. If you're dealing with that, any kind of depression, anxiety, come on down front. If you want the Holy Spirit, come on down front. Come on down.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.